what to make of the apps popping up that claim to alert people if they've been near someone infected with the coronavirus, or apps people can use to prove they've been vaccinated against the virus. Are they accurate? Are they ethical? Let's take a look, starting with the Common Pass app from the not-for-profit Geneva-based Commons Project and the World Economic Forum. The app began as a way to deliver medical information to users. It's pivoted with the pandemic to relay information about tests and soon vaccination requirements for travel and elsewhere. Last week, a consortium of tech and health companies like Microsoft and the Mayo Clinic joined the Commons Project effort. Paul Meyer is the CEO of the Commons Project. Paul, take us through how someone would use this app.
Yeah, really what Common Pass does is lets a user download it and then connect it to either their lab result or their vaccination record. And then they can use it to basically demonstrate that they either have been tested or have been vaccinated and complied with the requirements of their destination, whether it's a country, whether it's an airline, a school, a workplace, a concert venue.
Well, we understand that's on the horizon. This is like a digital version of the yellow health card that many of us have, you know, you take when you travel to show the shots you've had so you can gain entry to foreign countries. There are other apps as well. IBM has the digital health pass. And we understand right now, if you're traveling, this app might direct you, if you're at the airport, where you can go to maybe get a quick COVID test if it's required for a flight.
That's right. And this is going to become more and more important. The CDC just introduced a requirement for all inbound travelers to the United States to be tested within 72 hours before boarding a flight to the United States. So beginning on January 26, every individual, U.S. citizen or otherwise, who is flying into the United States is going to have to get tested and be able to present evidence of that test before they can be boarded onto a flight.
Do you worry that this idea of a digital health pass is going to add to the inequity we're already seeing in the pandemic? Some people don't have smartphones. They don't have access to free testing. You know, we already are feeling when we travel that there's a lane for somehow special people and a lane for everybody else. Do you worry that this will add to that?
Well, the way we've architected it is in a way that actually can support paper as well. So there's a way that either labs or vaccination sites can actually issue a piece of paper with a 2D barcode with something that's called a verifiable credential, which means the paper itself can be verified to ensure its accuracy. So it can be inclusive.
Now, you're a nonprofit. Are these free?
The app is absolutely free. We are a nonprofit. It's being operated as a sort of common public trust for the world. But I also think that access is a really critical topic to talk about. And countries for a long time have, for example, required documentation of yellow fever vaccination to enter some countries. Schools require vaccination for children to be registered for schools. Los Angeles County just announced that children would have to be vaccinated for COVID-19 to return to school in Los Angeles County. But again, these are critical decisions that those communities and those institutions are going to need to make.
And to be clear, you're saying that your app will allow people to print off a paper version of their test or vaccination results at even a public computer that they could then take with them when they go on a flight. As I said, you're a nonprofit and you started this work for East African countries to help people verify health information. For instance, was it truck drivers? You know,
Four of the six countries of the East Africa community are landlocked. And when COVID struck, the borders got closed and they needed to let truckers basically bring food from like the port of Mombasa into, you know, Uganda and Rwanda. So it really, you know, the work began in trying to solve for enabling truck drivers to actually cross borders to bring food and other vital supplies.
By showing that they had tested negative for
COVID. Just showing they've been tested in one country and therefore, you know, the destination country felt comfortable letting them cross the border.
Yeah. But what about privacy? And this in the past has always been the role of the government. Now it feels as if the government is ceding this to tech companies. How can you ensure someone's health privacy?
The way the Common Pass app is structured is that you pull your health records into the app, but they're stored only on your phone, and you're the only one who has control of that record. What Common Pass does is confirms that you actually have the lab results or the vaccination records and sends a yes or no answer to that destination about whether or not you satisfy the requirements, but you don't actually have to hand over your underlying health information. That's yours. It's protected. It never leaves your phone. I think this is all about risk reduction. This is about giving both people more confidence that they can start to reengage, and also giving communities and institutions the confidence to begin to open up borders again, allow travel to resume.
Yeah. That's Paul Meyer of the Common Pass app. I'll link you up at herenow.org. Paul, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And now to apps that say they notify people on their smartphones about whether they've spent time near people who've tested positive for the coronavirus. They're called virus exposure apps. New York Times tech writer Jennifer Valentino DeVries has taken a deep look here. So, Jennifer, we know Google and Apple have created these apps. How do they work?
So they work by using the Bluetooth that is on a lot of people's smartphones. And the Bluetooth sends out signals and can detect if other phones are nearby. It's figuring out what phones are near you and whether they're, you know, within about 6 feet for more than 15 minutes or so. And if that person then later gets a positive coronavirus test, the system will alert you that you were exposed to them. Kind of go back in time and tell people that you saw, you know, 3 days ago that they now need to isolate and get tested in a couple of days and so forth.
It's kind of like a digital contact tracing. But how does the system know that the person had a positive coronavirus test?
So the apps have to work with health departments, and those health departments get a code under the system that Apple and Google have created, and they can give the infected person this code to enter into their app and agree and say, I want to alert the people I was around, you know, in the past 5 days, you know, whenever they started becoming infectious, and the system knows to send out the alert to people who were around you.
Well, boy, I mean, you have to hope that most people will want to participate. What do you do about that human aspect of this?
So I think that is a big question in the rollout of this technology. You know, I followed some pilot studies, and they did find that even people who signed up to use the apps, when they tested positive, when it really came time to make the decision whether to put their information in there saying that, you know, yes, I tested positive, some percentage of them balked.
Allay those security fears.
Okay, so I think that there is a misunderstanding that this is tracking your location, and it is not doing that. You know, I think for a lot of the digital tracking that we have become concerned about, there's a financial motive. And in this case, there are engineers who are privacy engineers, security engineers at the tech giants, and were able to persuade, you know, the leadership of those companies to be involved in this. And it is not actually tied to advertising or the things that are usually driving that kind of location collection. And I don't know, I don't often trust the tech companies either. But in this case, after talking with a lot of experts who have looked at the code, they are saying that it is secure.
You say the biggest problem with this is that people don't know about it. Why don't people know about it?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot going on right now. I think
really?
The biggest things that people need to do, you know, involve wearing masks and distancing and getting tested and responding to contact tracers if they call you. But I think that given that Apple and Google have done the heavy lifting here and are really presenting this technology to states to use, you know, I think that it's a good thing. You could have 20% of the state's population using this app, and it could still make a difference in terms of reducing infections.
Yeah. Are you using it?
I am. And actually, I got an alert. I knew somebody who tested positive, and I was alerted.
It worked.
Yeah, it did work. It told me. So
great. Jennifer Valentino DeVries, New York Times tech guru on a coronavirus exposure app from Apple and Google. We'll link you up to more information at herenow.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you so much.